We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for all of you fine folks on the other side of the speaker. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you being here. We are right smack dab in the middle of draft weekend. This episode, of course, is brought to you by Prize Picks. Today we're going to talk about the 49ers day two picks, round two, round three. In round two, with pick 64, they went cornerback Renardo Green out of Florida State. And in round three, with pick 86, they went offensive lineman Dominic Puni from Kansas. So far in the draft, the 49ers have selected a wide receiver, a cornerback, and an offensive lineman, all three which were commonly identified as among their three biggest needs. Let's get into the picks. Before we get into the picks, obviously we got to talk about the fact that all day we had to hear about how the 49ers were calling teams, trying to trade Brandon Ayuk, trying to trade Deebo Samuel. Did they or didn't they? I don't know. That's an awful lot of smoke for there to be no fire whatsoever. But in typical fashion, neither Brandon Ayuk nor Deebo Samuel have been traded or seem like they're about to be traded. John Lynch said after the draft that there had been no Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk trade discussions today. Doesn't mean that they didn't happen yesterday. And maybe they determined that their asking price for either was not going to be met. But in the end, I was texting with KP about this. I was like, dude, with the amount of rumors that were floating around yesterday that just never came to fruition, it's hard for me to take all the shit that's flying around today seriously. And it did not surprise me in the slightest that neither 49ers receiver is on the move, especially Deebo Samuel, whose contract kind of ties him to the 49ers this year, over $20 million of dead money. Now, you don't want to fall into the sunk cost fallacy where you're too worried about wasting the money that you've already spent and you're never going to get it back type of deal, but it did not surprise me that neither of them got moved. Deebo Samuel told Diana Rossini of The Athletic that he knows what's going on. He's cool with being on the 49ers. He's chilling. That's all really she got out of him. It was just a whole lot of nothing. Now, again, that does not mean that none of it happened. That does not mean that trade discussions didn't happen. It's hard to imagine that many rumors are just flying around without something actually happened. Mike Silver reported that Deebo Samuel, not Brandon Ayuk, was the one that was most likely to be traded. It was all over the place. And at some point, you hear it so much. It's like, you know, it's kind of like the boy that cried wolf. You had heard about the trade talks so much that you just couldn't take them seriously anymore. And of course, nothing happens. But that kind of set the stage for what seemed like it was going to be a pretty tumultuous second day of the draft. And for the most part, at least for the 49er, it was pretty by the book, especially when it comes to addressing team needs. Now, right before the 49ers picked at 64, the Houston Texans took Notre Dame offensive tackle Blake Fisher. Then the Baltimore Ravens took Washington tackle Roger Rosengarten, one pick before the 49ers. That was the player that the 49ers were rumored to be having a lot of interest in. I mean, he was mocked to the 49ers by Mel Kiper with the 31st pick, which was always wild, but that's what he was hearing. Well, the Ravens took him one pick before the 49ers. When that happened, the 49ers and traded back with the Chiefs. It was only one pick backwards. The Chiefs moved into that spot, and they took Kingsley Sumatia. Sumatia. Man, I was good at this earlier. Sumatia. Yeah, that works. Who was also a common pick for the 49ers. So in a matter of, and I wish I had the selection order. I might have it right now, because leading up to that pick in the second round, it was like a who's who of people that had been mocked to the 49ers. Going all the way back up to pick number 52, A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver to the Colts, Ben Sinnott, tight end to the Commanders, Michael Hall Jr., somebody who the 49ers met with on the top 30, went to the Browns. Patrick Paul, offensive tackle out of Houston, went to the Dolphins. Cowboys took Marshawn Leland, edge rusher, who the 49ers also had a top three visit with. Buccaneers took Chris Braswell, a pass rusher out of Alabama. Georgia took Javon Bullard, safety out of, I keep reading their colleges because they don't have the pro team written. They just have the little tiny symbol next to their name. Green Bay took Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia. Neyland, Braswell, Bullard all met with the 49ers on top 30 visits. Then goes Blake Fisher to the Texans out of Notre Dame. Cole Bishop, safety out of Utah, then went to the Bills. That was one of the only players that hadn't been commonly mocked to the 49ers. And it's Rakestraw, corner out of Missouri, then went to the Lions. Then goes Roger Rosengarten. Then the 49ers trade back, and the Chiefs stayed Kingsley Sumatia. So it was kind of wild watching all those picks fly through. It was just a bunch of names who we'd commonly associated with the 49ers, many of which the 49ers had met with. So it was just an interesting string of picks that I don't know if it shocked the 49ers, and that's why they just chose to do their little trade back, or maybe they were fine with Renardo Green all along. They were probably confident that the Chiefs were not going to take a corner, and they just found a way. And for that trade back, they were able to take a sixth round pick and make it jump up like 40 spots into the fifth round. We know how the 49ers love their fifth round picks. So I just thought that was an interesting day. I thought that string of picks was an interesting just domino effect of all of these players that we've seen mocked to the 49ers. I will leave that there. Okay, let's count these up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 tabs open between two windows at my on my PC. So it is, we're moving right now. Make sure my recording is still good. Gotta just check in on that. Okay, so enough of the bullshit. Oh, you know what? Now we'll get to it. We got to talk about Prize Picks. We'll talk about Renardo Green first, but then before we get to their third round pick, Dominic Puni, we'll get in our word from Prize Picks. So second round, the 49ers went corner. Renardo Green out of Florida State, 6 foot, 185, started 13 games over the last two seasons, 18 pass breakups, one interception, 101 tackles, and 5.5 tackles for loss over the last 2 years. The player, like Ricky Pearsall, he's a little older. He's played a lot of games. He was in college he played 5 seasons of football. Despite that, he has a good health history, pretty solid health history. He's versatile. He can play both inside and outside. He's consistently ranked higher than where the 49ers took him on draft boards, but the praise was pretty consistent on what Green represented as a corner and how he won his matchups, how he plays the brand of football. It was weird. It was like a lot of these scouting reports talk about Green as if he's about it, and then just didn't have him ranked appropriately. And we'll kind of get into that. Not appropriately. I don't want to say they were inappropriate. It just seemed like the way Green's stock was lower than it was talked about. It was a little odd as I worked through the scouting reports. Dane Brugler referred to him as polarizing, which is basically what I'm describing. Some scouts have him very highly. Some scouts have him a little lower. The 49ers obviously coveted him quite a bit to take him at 64. Let's get into some of the scouting reports. The draft tracker, when the 49ers make the pick, Eric Edholm of NFL said Green made a name for himself with his coverage versus Malik Nabers in the 2023 season opener and had a strong final college season after switching back from safety to outside corner. Green does lack great size and athletic traits, but his natural cover skills and improved playmaking skills give him a decent chance. Okay, let's go to Matt Miller of ESPN. The 49ers had legitimate needs for a third corner, which could allow Diamandour Lenore to stick at one position as either an outside or slot corner. The selection of Green should find Lenore playing purely on the edge in 2024. A feisty man coverage cornerback with great short area quickness, Green's instincts and ability to identify routes are what San Francisco have been missing at slot cornerback. That said, he was ranked number 104 on my board, so this feels like a reach based on value. The need is there, but there were better slot corners on my board. And then you jump down to Lance Zierlein's report. Just more of the same. I don't want to necessarily do too much reading to you guys, but I just figure I'm getting multitude of scouts, kind of all multitude of opinions, multiples of thoughts just on the same player. Pure press man cornerback who inspired coverage against LSU's talented receiving core should carry weight in his evaluation. Green is patient to match the release and possess good agility to recover quickly when beaten. Elite body control allows him to phase double moves and route breaks. He's quick to close and tackle when beaten. Physical play gets him flagged inside the route, and he doesn't find the ball often when the routes travel downfield. He can improve in run support, but he's more than willing. Green might need safety help over the top, but his route tracing and catch restriction over the first two levels give him a good chance of becoming an above average starter outside or from the slot. So you're starting to see, according to scouts, that kind of up and down nature of his grades, where teams or where scouts consistently have him. It seems like he's capable of playing both outside and inside. CBS gave the selection an A. Chris Trepasso said, super steady, plus athlete, calm, cool, collected. Man-to-man skills are awesome. Mixes in some physicality. Instincts are there too. High floor player who may not have the twitch to play inside, but can mirror well on the boundary. Speed can be stretched beyond the limit. So you're seeing that some scouts have him inside, some scouts have him outside. I'm looking at his scouting report on Dane Brugler's The Beast, which is one of the most impressive scouting documents I've ever seen. Kind of says, I'll just read the overall. Overall, Green is a polarizing prospect among NFL teams, but because he doesn't have desired size, speed, or ball tracking skills, and won't be a fit for every scheme. But his play, personality, and ability to quickly find his balance mid-coverage helps him stay connected and will give him a chance to earn a meaningful role in an NFL secondary. Chris Sims chimed in on Twitter. Yeah, I see a 49ers great pick with Renardo Green. He is made for the 49ers defensive scheme, a Seattle scheme type of corner. Physical at the line of scrimmage and can bail and not let you get over the top. 49ers only get badasses. Check that box with Green. So the opinions, where he should be taken, where he shouldn't be taken, none of that really matters. In the end, it's about the fit and how the guy shows up and plays in the NFL. I do think that fans spend a little too much time taking mock drafts and draft boards at surface level and assuming that that's the only way to succeed. If Renardo Green ends up solid, no one's going to care that they drafted him at 64 rather than 78. Like, it just it's just not how it ends up working out. Eric Galco, who I believe runs the Shrine Bowl, he had a lot of praise for Renardo Green, who I'm assuming went to the Shrine Bowl. He said Renardo Green faced three of the top wide receivers in this draft this year in Neighbors, Thomas, and Pearsall. Against those three, he had 60 coverage snaps, five catches allowed, one interception, one forced incompletion, and a 28.7 quarterback rating. Apparently did really well at the Shrine Bowl. He posted a bunch of clips of him going up against these top receivers and shutting them down. Did real well against Malik Neighbors, like I said, Brian Thomas and Ricky Pearsall. There's just a lot of clips of his one-on-one reps with those. Again, that's Eric Galco, G-A-L-K-O. Go check those out. So interesting words from scouts, interesting words from just people that know how he plays. I thought the most interesting thing, though, was what Renardo Green said when he met with the media. And this is via Jennifer Lee Chan on NBC Sports Bay Area. This is a quote directly from Renardo. In this NFL draft, I bet on myself. I always felt I was one of the top corners in this year's draft because I did what a lot of others can't. I went against the number two pick, the number six pick, the Heisman winner, and the receiver that broke LSU's records. I proved it week in and week out, pressing them. That's one of the hardest things you can do in football is press. I was pressing all of them with no safety help over the top, me and him, one-on-one. That's pretty sweet. And he's not wrong. He obviously, like we were just talking about, he had quite a bit of success against the top receivers. And I don't know if scouts took that into their evaluation, but it's impressive. John Lynch said in the video of them calling up Renardo Green, like, look, you play football exactly how we want to play football. John Chapman of the 49ers Rush podcast was telling me that he's really feisty, talks all kinds of shit, and just fits right into the way the 49ers play defense. So I like the pick. Obviously, the 49ers, let's talk about the fit. It depends on where the 49ers want him. No matter what, it's a good pick. But do they want him outside? If they do, he enters into a pretty crowded competition with free agent addition Isaac Yiadom, veteran Rocky Sin, Darrell Luter Jr., Ambry Thomas. D'Amador Lenore's got to be the favorite somewhere. He's either going to start at nickel or he's going to start at outside. I think that kind of will determine where they kind of focus Renardo Green's efforts. Let's say they know they want D'Amador Lenore to start outside opposite Charvarius Ward. Then Renardo Green's got a great shot at the nickel because only certain corners can play that role. 1 second, I'm going to clear my throat. Okay. So it really depends on where he's going to compete. Now, the 49ers might just plug him in at nickel and just see what he's got. And I don't know if that necessarily is affected by where D'Amador Lenore is going to play. At some point, there's going to be some serious competition at training camp between this group. Might be the most heated competition we have at any position. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. I'm assuming, second round corner. As you heard from the scouts, though, like some said he was most comfortable outside. Some said he was most comfortable inside. He played a little bit of safety. Obviously, he's versatile. He can move all over the place. But it makes it difficult to know exactly where the 49ers are going to place him. If I had to guess, again, Ward on one side, Lenore on the other, and Renardo Green in the middle. Depends. Some people talk about nickel corner as if it's the hardest one to play, which it is. Maybe they don't want to put a rookie there. Man, it's going to be cool to see how this shakes out and how Renardo Green is able to come in. He played a lot of football in college. He's going to have a lot of experience, which might give him a bit more of a leg up in the competition than a rookie would typically have. We'll see. We'll see. Big time competition there at corner. I wouldn't be able to move on without mentioning the fact Charvarius Ward, last year of his deal. D'Amador Lenore, last year of his deal. I doubt both are staying. Maybe one stays. The 49ers just won't have that kind of money to just keep doling out extensions. It's especially when they're in the middle of trying to work on Brandon Ayuk and you've got Brock Purdy's coming down the pipe. So definitely a pick for the 49ers with a very clear need and also a very clear path towards a starting role as soon as week one. Just depends on the training camp he has. Okay, before we get to Dominic Pooney, guard out of Kansas, we got to get a quick word in from Prize Picks. Y'all already know how it is. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy, and they're rolling with striking gold for 2024. It's just you against the numbers. You're picking more, you're picking less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and hopefully you're just watching the winnings roll in. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has added a whole new layer of fun throughout this season. I've loved it. I've enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to doing it again. I mean, if you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. The biggest thing that I liked about Prize Picks is just how simple it was. You can submit a lineup in less than 60 seconds. It really is that simple if you know what you're doing. You're going to go to prizepicks.com/gold, and you're going to use the promo code GOLD for a first deposit match up to $100. One more time, prizepicks.com/gold, and you're going to use the promo code GOLD. They're going to match your first deposit anywhere up to $100. PrizePix is daily fantasy sports made easy. All right, so in the third round, the 49ers traded up with the Eagles up to pick number from 94 to 86. Trying to see if somebody tweeted out. I just didn't have the trade details in front of me. What the 49ers did, though, is they gave up their middle fourth-round pick. They had 3 fourth-round picks all in very quick succession with one another. They gave up the middle one to jump up, I think it was 8 spots, in the third round to take Kansas guard Dominic Pooney, 6'5", 325 pounds. In 2023, he was a left tackle. In 2022, he was a left guard. In 2021, he was a left tackle, suffered an injury, missed the rest of the season. In 2020, didn't play because of COVID. In 19, he was a left tackle, and in 18, he was a right tackle. So he was all over the place in terms of what positions he's played, what positions he knows how to play. Eric Ed Holdem on NFL said, a college tackle who has made most of his ability, Pooney is an easy player to appreciate with the unbridled power he packs in his punch. He has 5 position backup potential and eventually could be starting interior player. On ESPN, Matt Miller, the number 76 overall player on my board, Pooney is a plug and play starter at guard who had experience at tackle in college. The 49ers' right side of the offensive line has been an issue with no notable long-term answers at any position from center to right tackle. Pooney should get every chance to be the team's week one starting right guard, but could even get looks at right tackle if the team likes his transition there. Steve Minch said, in addition to starting games at both tackle and spots and left guard in college, Pooney took some snaps at center in the Senior Bowl. He grades out as a versatile reserve with the potential to develop into a starter at guard or center. He's tough to beat when he gets his hands inside and pass protection and did a good job of staying in front when he lined up at guard and center at the Senior Bowl. Pooney latches on and has the frame. Good nickname. Pooney, an offensive lineman named Pooney. I guess it worked, man. It's like, look up the song Boy Named Sue by, hold on. It's been a long day, okay? It's been a long day. I know the moment I see it. Freaking Johnny Cash, you idiot. Anyways, an offensive lineman named Pooney. Reminds me of the song A Boy Named Sue by Johnny Cash. But you got to listen to it and you got to listen to the lyrics. Okay. So, and then last but certainly not least, we've got Lance Zierlein. I'm not going to get into reading his scouting report verbatim. I'll stick to the shorter ones. Another pick to CBS gave an A. Such a Kyle Shanahan pick. Has the athletic chops to potentially play all 5 positions at some point in his NFL career. Regularly squares up his assignment and gets into the frame of defensive linemen quickly because of his plus burst off the ball. played offensive tackle in college, but probably best at offensive guard as a pro. Has to add some strength to his game. Not a lunger. Good pass pro. The summary from Dane Brugler. Overall, Puni will get himself in trouble bending at the waist or letting his pads raise, but he plays big, powerful, and sends a harsh message with his hands while staying controlled through contact. He can play tackle if needed, but projects best as an NFL starting guard or center. So those are what the scouts have to say. Pretty sweet pick for the 49ers. Pretty sweet pick, and definitely addresses a glaring need. Wouldn't say glaring. I mean, that's kind of unfair based on the fact that all of their starters are coming back. But in terms of their offensive line, the 49ers have themselves a little bit of a puzzle. You know, Trent Williams is playing left tackle. Then everything else is kind of up in the air. I mean, they haven't drafted anyone that's capable of replacing Colton McKivitz, so we can leave him at right tackle. Dominic Puni is probably, I mean, he's played the most on the left side, both left tackles and left guards. Aaron Banks has 1 year left on his contract and hasn't necessarily been particularly good. He could be upgraded upon very easily. Jake Brendel at center, veteran. Another, you know, he's been okay. Could be upgraded on pretty easily. John Feliciano surprised everybody last year when he came in and replaced Spencer Burford. He's somebody that I don't think the 49ers are going to want to replace, but he does have experience at center. So the 49ers are going to be looking at John Feliciano, Jake Brendel, Aaron Banks, and Dominic Puni, and wondering how they can put together the best three from that. Do they play John Feliciano at center, plug Dominic Puni in at right guard, and then play Aaron Banks at left guard? Do they put Puni in at left guard, keep Jake Brendel at center, and then keep John Feliciano at right guard? They can shift those guys a lot. Maybe they want to give Dominic Puni a chance at center. That would be surprising to me based on the fact he's a rookie and Kyle Shanahan puts a lot of pressure on his centers, a lot of responsibility. But there's a chance that the way that offensive line is made up could get pretty interesting. It's not as simple as, or maybe it could be as simple as 49ers just see Puni as being better than like Aaron Banks and they plug him in at left tackle next to Trent Williams and they keep Jake Brendel and John Feliciano and Colton McKivitz on the right side. Maybe they ask Puni to try out right guard. It's not that easy to switch sides. A lot of people act like it's easier than it is, but maybe they want him at right guard, and then you put John Feliciano at center. It really is quite all over the place. I don't think they want John Feliciano backing anybody up. He was quite good in 2023. Really good, actually. So, and you saw the consequences of the moment he came out. So I know that Dominic Puni has starter potential. He seems like the 49ers see him as a starter. This is not necessarily a backup pick. Does he get under the starting lineup right away? We'll see. He can definitely earn it. It'll be interesting to see where the 49ers focus his efforts. He'll start out on like the second string offensive line, and then that'll give us a good idea of where he's going to be. And it'll be interesting to see how he does. Pretty good pick. I think it was awesome. I think it's important to note, again, who knows? We don't know when left tackle Trent Williams is going to retire. Aaron Banks is on the last year of his deal. Jake Brendel is an inexpensive veteran center. The 49ers might look to spend that money elsewhere. John Feliciano is signed to a one-year deal. And Colton McKivitz is a serviceable starter. We'll just say that. So there can be flux and upgrades all along the offensive line. So the fact that they went guard, I mean, you heard their scouting reports, though. A lot of them seem pretty convinced that he could still play tackle. So maybe he was announced as a guard. I'm sure the 49ers see him as a guard, but you never know. You never know. Definitely, I have noted on here an investment in the future. The 49ers are going to have to do a lot of investing in the future when it comes to the offensive line. We just talked about that. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they went with that way. a theme with the 49ers selections, a theme. All of the players they've selected thus far have played a lot of football in college. Leave no doubt, as Coach Yost said in Remember the Titans. I think the 49ers are looking to remove doubt from their picks. They're picking proven players with good injury history. And all three of the players that they took have a very clear path towards a starting role. The 49ers have their back against the wall when it comes to the salary cap. They don't really have the luxury, and they can't really afford to take risky picks. They're up against the salary cap. The picks, the players that they're drafting are cost-controlled players for the first 4 years of their contract. They need these players to work out. That's how they clear more cap space, and that's how they leave themselves the breathing room to be able to spend big money on extensions or signing key free agents. And that's the beauty of being good at drafting. You're giving yourself cheap players that are going to be cost-controlled for 4 years. So all three of these picks seem smart, they seem safe, and they seem like they're going towards players that the 49ers have a very good idea of what to expect. I do not care if all of the mock drafts said you could have got Ricky Purcell 10 picks later. If you paid attention to the draft right after Ricky Purcell's pick, receiver after receiver after receiver after receiver. Let me pull up ESPN's. Sorry, I'm getting a little far away from the mic here. Let me pull up ESPN's big board, and it'll allow me to go back to round two. So first, it's important to note that right after Ricky Purcell, the Panthers traded into the first round and took Xavier Leggett, also wide receiver, out of South Carolina. Then in round two, first pick by the Bills, Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State. Next pick, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia. Three picks down, Jalen Polk, Washington, wide receiver. So one, two, three, four, five picks. If you just count the, I think I'm counting that right. If you count the one going into the, after the first round. So receiver, 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 the 49ers probably wouldn't have been able to come close to touching Ricky Purcell at the back of the second round where they were initially picking. And so, you know, the 49ers had conviction. It's so obvious to see how Ricky Purcell fits. And the two other guys they picked, Renardo Green and Dominic Pooney, they all have obvious fits as well. With Pooney, it seems like they got a little bit of value. Most scouts had him lower on their big board than the 49ers took him, which is good, where it was kind of the opposite with Renardo Green. But again, you can't become so obsessed with the mock drafts and the value that you ignore the fit, you ignore the 49ers, the fact that the 49ers are doing their own scouting, which also includes personality and how that player is going to fit into the locker room and how much that player loves football. You know, they have so many things that go into their scouting report that are based not on what you see. You know, they're based on conversations they've had with this person, conversations that a lot of the people on the internet making these big boards and mock drafts don't have. And so, in the end, it's about fit. It's about, did the scouting department and the coaching staff and everybody kind of marry together in conviction for the pick? You know, were they all behind it? And then you trust your gut, you go with it. And again, nobody's going to, if Renardo Green ends up being a solid nickel corner, no one's going to care that they drafted him super late with the last pick in the second, rather midway in the third. You know, it's just not realistic to think that way, especially when you think about the fact that, okay, maybe the 49ers try to get cute, find a trade down for every pick they make and watch another team take them right in front of them. Then you just end up feeling like an idiot consistently that you're just letting the player you wanted slip right past your fingers. So in the end, the draft is all about what you do on the team that drafted you. So it's going to be a couple years before we really know how much these picks hit. But from the outside looking in right now, they all seem solid. They all seem smart. They all seem like proven football players that should be able to compete for a starting role right away, right away. So some positions of need still for the 49ers. You know, it's open to interpretation. Safety. You've got Jair Brown. He'll be one of the 49ers starters. And you've got Talanoa Hufanga coming back from a season-ending injury. We don't know what condition he's going to be in. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers went safety. You know, before we even get into team needs, okay, the picks remaining for the 49ers. Tomorrow is day three. It is rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. The 49ers have two picks, 124 and 135 in the fourth round, towards the back end of the round. Then they have two fifths, 173 and 176, a sixth, 215, and a seventh, 251. I think the 49ers are going to be looking to wipe out the sixth and the seventh and maybe one of the fifths in an effort to maneuver up the board. Maybe they'll try to keep both the fifths, but the 49ers definitely don't want, and it speaks to the top heaviness of this draft class. The 49ers talked about how many players that they had with draftable grades that went back to school. It was like 80 something. Which means to the 49ers that the majority, you want to be picking players in no later than like the fourth and fifth rounds, because you see the players in the sixth and the seventh rounds as undraftable. You know, they're not the caliber player that you would typically be drafting, undrafted free agents maybe. So it won't surprise me at all if the 49ers trying to jump up in the, you know, maybe they jump up in the fourth once and they jump up in the fifth once and try to burn those sixth and sevenths. Maybe do another pick swap in the fifth just to try and maneuver around and kind of just get rid of a couple of those picks in the hopes of improving their standings in the fourth and fifth round. Team needs, again, they probably need to go safety at some point. Wouldn't surprise me if they went defensive line. They could still go tight end. You know, they've tried to give Lions tight end Brock Wright that contract. Lions matched it. That tells you what the 49ers think of their tight ends right there. You know, do they take a tackle some point in here and look to develop him over the next year or two? Do they double dip on offensive line or wide receiver? I mean, a double dip in wide receiver wouldn't surprise me at all. There's some pretty interesting names still on ESPN's big board. Cornerback TJ Tampa out of Iowa State, he's their 46th ranked player, and he is still on the board, and they're at pick 101, I believe. North Carolina linebacker Cedric Gray, that was a favorite player in a lot of the 49ers mock drafts. He's their 51st ranked player. You've got Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington. Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas. He is ESPN's second ranked tight end, 64th overall, and he is still on the board. I think that you're going to see a massive amount of tight ends go in the fourth round. Right behind him, you have Cade Stover, their tight end number 3 out of Ohio State. I think the 49ers would be looking to go tight end here. Javon Baker, wide receiver out of UCF, still on the board. I'm just kind of popping around their big board. Christian Jones, offensive tackle out of Texas. He's on here, the 84th ranked player. There's a lot of names that have been associated with the 49ers over the last weeks. I think Brandon Dorlus, defensive lineman out of Oregon. 49ers had a top 30 visit with him. He's still on the board. And again, I think the 49ers are going to do their absolute best to move up further into the fourth, further into the fifth, to try and get some of these players rather than really messing around with a lot of the later rounds. Theo Johnson, tight end out of Penn State. Jared Wiley, tight end out of TCU. A lot of good players. I know a lot of you guys like Muhammad Kamara, the edge player out of Colorado State. That would be a pretty clean pick. Smaller guy, a little undersized, 6'1", 248. But he's got a lot to like. I'm pleased to announce that the 49ers did not select a running back in the third round. They saw my tweet, said, haha, we'll show you. So, yeah, again, needs, you know, and these are open for interpretation, safety, defensive line. Maybe a tight end. Do they double dip on an offensive line or wide receiver? Wouldn't surprise me at all. Luke McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey's brother, was selected, I think, with the final pick in the third round, going to Washington. Looking at some of these other picks here. Okay. I think that about covers it. It's going to go fast. Rounds 4, 5, and 6 is crazy. Obviously, you have these big stretches of times where the 49ers aren't picking. Pick number 124 is kind of in the last third of the fourth round, and pick 135 is the last pick in the fourth round. Keep your eyes on the ticker, though. Keep your eyes on Twitter or whatever it is, draft coverage you're looking at, because I'm predicting the 49ers are going to try and move around quite a bit, just in the hopes of drafting some of their draftable players. Like I said, they didn't have an entire, I thought they said they had like 170 draftable players. If I'm not misquoting, I know I've gotten that number right before, but it's been a few days and my brain is absolutely cooked at this point. It is 10:43 PM. And for me, it might as well be 2 AM. But the 49ers are absolutely going to look to move up just to make sure that they're within that window of draftable players. And they don't want to be drafting players that would have been among the 80 something that decided to go back to college. All right. I think that's it, guys. Let me scroll down my notes. The 49ers 2024 draft class so far is Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver out of Florida, cornerback Renardo Green out of Florida State, and offensive lineman Dominic Puni out of Kansas. One more time, they've got two picks in the fourth, two picks in the fifth, one pick in the sixth, and one pick in the seventh. We will see you again right here tomorrow after the entire draft class is done. Don't care that it's a Saturday. I'm recording it. Should be out later that day, Sunday morning at the latest. This podcast should be hitting your feed bright and early or right in not too long on either Friday night or Saturday morning. All right, everybody. Appreciate you. Sorry if I'm stumbling on my words. Sorry if I'm repeating myself a little bit. It's late. It's been a long day. I'm doing my best, but I'm here. And that's what counts, right? That's what counts. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. @Rob_Louder on Twitter if you want to follow me along. Make sure you're checking out prizepicks.com/gold. Okay, that lets them know that I sent you. Till tomorrow, I'm Rob. This is Striking Gold. We're signing out.